Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine. Today we are joined by Jess Myers, who is a regular contributor to USA Hockey Magazine. In addition to that, Jess covers the Wild in college hockey for 1500 ESPN Radio in the Twin Cities. And for a long time before that, Jess was also a contributing editor for Inside College Hockey. Hey, Jess, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Eric. It's one of the most exciting days of the year for me. Traveling to the Frozen Four every year is a lot of fun. And I'll apologize in advance for any background noise. I'm actually at an airport en route right now. So hear any gate announcements, that just means maybe they're following my flight.
All right. Well, if you have to run, we understand.
No, not a problem.
Hey, Jess, so obviously this is not your first rodeo. You've been covering Frozen Fours for a long time. What number is this for you?
This will be my 21st, amazingly enough. Yeah, all the way from the first one I covered in 1989 in St. Paul when I was just a sophomore in college. Got to see an amazing game between Harvard and Minnesota. Overtime win by Harvard, a huge upset, and I was hooked from that moment on. And missed just a few in that stretch. And been to, you know, some pretty interesting places over the years. So, you know, a lot of them in kind of the usual suspects like Boston and St. Paul and Buffalo and Milwaukee, kind of the traditional hockey cities. And then we've gone to some non-traditional places, too. Anaheim, California once, Tampa, Florida last year. So seen a lot of the country and a lot of great hockey rinks, and I'm looking forward to Pittsburgh this year.
What do you expect from this year's tournament? Kind of, it seems like there's a few surprise teams making the rounds this year.
Well, it's a really neat field. I mean, you always kind of have a soft spot, or at least I do for the first time. You know, the teams and the fan bases and the schools that have never really experienced success on this level before. You know, take nothing away from teams like Minnesota and Boston College and Boston University and North Dakota and some of the perennial favorites. But I just think a field like this one with Yale, which hasn't been there since 1952, and then Masswall, Quinnipiac, and St. Cloud State, which have never been there, the three of them, you know, we're going to have a first-time national champion, no matter how it shakes out. And we've got, I think, four fan bases that are really invigorated by seeing their programs get this far.
So can you give us a quick synopsis on, for those who maybe haven't followed college hockey this year so far, just a quick synopsis on how these four teams punch their ticket to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, absolutely. UMass Lowell comes into the tournament as kind of the hottest team around. They've won seven in a row. They were a top seed, and they got through their region, which is played in Manchester, New Hampshire, not too far from their campus. The most interesting story I would have to say about UMass Lowell, Norm Bazin, a longtime assistant coach at Colorado College, is in just his second year at UMass Lowell. He's taken them, 2 years ago they won five games. He took over a program that wasn't in great shape and has had just immediate success there. And Norm himself is a great story. Harry, you know, you being out in Colorado will probably remember this. 10 years ago, Norm was in a car accident that was nearly fatal when he was out recruiting for the Tigers. You know, the initial reports were that he wasn't going to survive. It was that serious a thing. And he obviously survived, and it's just an incredible kind of comeback story for him personally. So that's the story on UMass Lowell. Yale got there kind of the upset route. They played Minnesota, which had spent a lot of this past season ranked number one in the country. And Yale beat them in overtime and then beat North Dakota to get to the Frozen Four for the first time in a long time. They're coached by Keith Elaine, who is a familiar name in USA hockey circles. He's done a lot with the national teams and development teams and things like that. Just a great guy. You know, always one of those guys that I call on when I'm doing stories for USA Hockey Magazine. And a guy that, you know, is great to talk to about American hockey and kind of the development of college hockey throughout the country. So that's going to be a first semifinal. Second semifinal, we've got Quinnipiac, which has spent a lot of the year ranked number one. It's just a fantastic hockey team. They're making their first Frozen Four appearance. They started the season 3-3-1, which is pretty pedestrian, then went on a 21-game unbeaten streak. All year people have been saying, yeah, but how good are they? You know, they can't be for real. You know, they're going to fall, and they just haven't. I mean, this is a team that's very solid offensively, and they're led in goal by a kid named Kevin Hartzell, who's actually out of the Twin Cities. He's playing out on the East Coast. Very good goalie. He's one of the three finalists for the Hobie Baker Award. And, you know, it would take a lot for the goalie to win that award. It's only happened twice previously in Rob Stauber in 1988. And then Ryan Miller from Michigan State won it in 2001. But Hartzell, in a lot of ways, is the reason they're there. They'll play a thing called Sink Team, which is coached by Bob Motzko. He's in about his eighth year there. He's an alum of the program. He was a longtime assistant coach and recruiter at Minnesota, had some great success there on a couple of national championship teams with Don Lucia. And what's most interesting, I guess, about the Huskies is Drew LeBlanc, who I think is a fifth-year senior now, just a fantastic offensive hockey player, 4.0 student, is probably the favorite to win the Hobey Baker Award. And Drew's coming back from a year last year, early in the season in November. He went hard into the boards in a game against Wisconsin, and it actually had kind of one of those gruesome compound fractures like we saw in the basketball game not too long ago. Survived that, came back from that, and had just a fantastic year to get the Huskies to the Frozen Four for the first time.
Before I ask you some of your predictions for the weekend, one of the interesting things is with the St. Cloud team, a lot of these kids that are sporting some pretty outrageous hair styles, but it's obviously, from what I hear, it's all for a great cause. And I wondered if you know anything more about what's going on with them and their mops.
You know, it's funny. St. Cloud State, you know, is not as well-known, obviously, as some of the teams in their region, like Minnesota and North Dakota and Wisconsin, you know, some kind of the perennial favorites to get to the Frozen Four. They have kind of been adopted this year by John Buchagrass, the ESPN. He's mentioned the Huskies. He showed their highlights on ESPN a bunch of times. And, yeah, they're doing the hockey hair thing. They've all got the mullets going and this real shaggy look. And everybody says, boy, wouldn't you make them shave that? Well, it's for a good cause, like you mentioned. They're doing a thing called Locks for Love, where eventually they will get their hair cut and they donate it to be made into wigs for folks who are dealing with cancer and lost their hair as a result. So kind of a neat effort for the team and kind of a real definitive look for them, obviously, as well.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So for those of us who are hail from the state of Connecticut, what are the chances we could see an all-Connecticut final in college hockey?
How fantastic would that be? And as you know, Quinnipiac and Yale, the campuses are, what, about 10 minutes apart? I mean, you know, folks from the Midwest and from the West, we always joke that everything in New England is 45 minutes apart. But no, that would be, you know, just a kind of a fun neighborhood rivalry to meet on that biggest stage. I got to tell you, if you're asking me to predict, I don't think it's going to happen. I just think UBAC Lowell is playing too tough right now, and Yale will have a hard time getting through them in that first game.
In addition to the games that will take place, can you talk a little bit about the events that will be happening on Friday, the day off between the semifinals and the finals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the two big events that they're doing are the Humanitarian Award, which is given out to a college hockey player, male or female, Division I through Division III, who demonstrates, you know, just kind of a great dedication, not only to the sport, but to their community, on and off the ice. And then, of course, the other award is the Hobey Baker Award, which goes to kind of college hockey's Heisman Trophy, which goes annually to the player judged to be the best in college hockey. And then, of course, the other thing that we're seeing, not only in Pittsburgh, but we've seen this in a lot of communities, is, you know, the town and the hockey community in that region really embraces the Frozen Four. I mean, this has really become a big deal for these communities to have this event in their building and in their area. They're going to have a big fan fest. They're going to have public open skating. I mean, it's really neat to see what's happened in Western Pennsylvania with the growth of hockey. And a lot of that can be traced to Mario Lemieux and the Stanley Cups they've won. And now, of course, you know, Sidney Crosby and names like that are obviously fantastic hockey players and have drawn a lot of interest. But this is kind of the next step in the growth of hockey in Western Pennsylvania. That, you know, you've got some college hockey now with Robert Morris and Mercyhurst and Penn State coming online in the Big Ten next year. And kind of a fun time for hockey in that part of the country.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. We just hosted one of our USA Hockey National Championships in Pittsburgh, and the people in Pittsburgh really do it upright. They're not only very knowledgeable, but they're also some of the nicest, friendliest, most welcoming people you'll ever find. So I'm sure you'll have a great time this weekend.
It's amazing to think, you know, Perry, you and I have been around the game a long time. I think back 25, 30 years ago when the Penguins had never really been very competitive on the ice. You know, they played in kind of a dilapidated old building in the igloo, and there was talk of, you know, can hockey survive in Pittsburgh? And to see where it is now is a pretty inspiring thing.
No doubt. Well, hey, one last thing before I let you go is for those of us who aren't fortunate enough to be spending the weekend in Pittsburgh, what's the status with these games being broadcast for us hockey fans in other parts of the country?
ESPN2 is covering all the games, so they'll be on live no matter where you are in the country. If you have ESPN2, you can watch them live. And there is a national radio broadcast as well, and I believe XM or Sirius or some of the satellite radio folks are picking that up. So, you know, that's kind of a neat way that this game is growing. grown to, and to see how college hockey has developed. That, you know, it wasn't 20 years ago even. It wasn't too easy to find these games on TV or on radio, and now it's truly a national event. So that's a fun thing.
Absolutely. Well, Jess Meyer is covering his 21st Frozen Four, and you guys, anybody who's interested, Jess is going to be writing for USA Hockey Magazine in the next issue, and hopefully in many, many issues down the road. Hey, Jess, thanks a lot for taking the time, and I will let you go so you can get your flight to Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Gary. You be well.